This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you gotta like that, Pete.
That's beautiful.
Oh, Harrigan is so, yes. That's all him. All him. That's all Dave.
He enjoyed doing that, Chad. He enjoyed putting that together.
Oh,
that
was, yeah. Especially in
work of art.
You know, and then the part is, it's truthful. Jim Dutcher, after I got crushed at his camp, said, I hear you're pretty good at golf. You know, it's... All right, let's jump in.
Well, he wasn't wrong about that. Yeah. I just saw you carve out a beautiful little 70 the other day. So yeah,
it's a little better, lately. Well, we're going to tee it up Saturday, so we're going to have fun. Dave was making this point off air, and a lot of this is Steph Curry related, and we've also had great shooters before, but it is so different in the WNBA and the NBA, Pete. The scenario the Liberty are facing last night, right? Where it's a tie game, you got an absolute stallion playing phenomenal in Stewart. She's got 22 in the second half. She had scored 13 straight. But you got Sabrina, and the 30-foot shot is, for certain players, viewed as a viable option, even when it's a tie game. I mean, the thought of that type of shot, an ISO from 30, when you're playing in the league in the 80s and 90s, would have been no chance. I mean, you know, if it's like 1 second to go and Bird's flailing, you know, flaring out, or Reggie's taking a shot. But honestly, one-on-one, the option was for Stewart to come out and set the screen or maybe slip the screen, whatever it might have been. But it's just not uncommon for certain players in the tie game to say, if I can create space from 30, I'm taking the shot. She's obviously a phenomenal player, and she hit it.
The other one she hit was just as hard. I mean, yeah. The one that she hit to put him up four. Do you know what I mean? Like that shoot that mm-hmm. went from the right slot.
Yeah.
That thing was not easy. That was not an easy shot. And she just got that Mamba mentality, and that's what she talked about, right? I mean,
she's tight.
Got that ability to they were really close, and you know she's been everything that they hoped she would be in New York. You know, her first year was not great. She did not play like Caitlin Clark when she came out of the, you know, she wasn't great.
Mm-mm.
But she's become a clutch player. And, you know, as Rucco said, that shot that she hit at the end of the game was the biggest in Liberty history.
Yeah.
I mean, that was,
he nailed it.
You know, they've never won a championship, and they were great early, but they just have not been a great team throughout their history, and they've got a chance to win a championship now. You know, the game was so funny because, you know, it was just a complete reversal of what happened in game
exactly.
one, because
yep.
New York had that big 18-point lead, and the Lynx absolutely shocked that New York crowd. Grady was there. I talked to Michael Grady because he was at the game, and I was like, what was it like? I mean, just – were they just dumbfounded? He just said it was one of the most incredible games he's ever seen. And so that performance by Stewie last night, I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, you know, the 22 second half points, 30 in the game, but yeah. the clutch shooting by, you know, Jonquel Jones, that corner three that she hit was huge. And then, you know, pick and roll, layup, and like just those three players were just so dynamic in the game. It was stunning. So now the Lynx have to, you know, come and do what the Liberty did in game two, is take care of business at home and see what happens in a game five. You know,
let me chime in this.
They can do it.
You obviously were with Cheryl for a number of years. You were with Cheryl when you guys won titles. You were with Cheryl when you lost titles. You know what she's like. You know what a grind, a season it is. So what do you think is Cheryl's approach after they were really good starting the game? And they missed a number of makeable shots when they could have built up that lead. A number of, so it's not like the offense was just awful. They missed makeable shots. But knowing her approach, her intensity, knowing how important rest is and adjustments, what is Cheryl Reeve like today and leading up tomorrow when they have to win or else the Liberty are the champs?
Well, I mean, you know, it's all about attention to detail in these situations, and there's nobody better. I mean, I've been around a lot of coaches. I've been around the game a long time, and I spent a lot of time with her and game planning with her, and you don't hit the panic button, first of all, but then you just get back to just, you know, what can we do to change things. And they went 14 of 40 in the paint, Chad.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's horrible.
35% shooting in the paint is just, it's an anomaly and it doesn't happen again. So you kind of chalk it up to, hey, you know, we just missed bunnies and we can't do that. So let's focus in, let's work on, you know, changing what we can change. But, you know, there's really been nobody better guarding Breonna Stewart than Nafisa Collier.
Yeah.
Collier has been
really good.
So good. There's no one that guards her better. And so, you know, Fee played the entire game last night. She played 40 minutes.
That's where I was going with you.
And so, you know, that's kind of what you have to ask your superstar to do. And Cheryl's done it before. She's asked that of these players. She demands that this is legacy building. You get the best out of these players in big moments. So I just think that she's gonna get them prepared. They're gonna watch the video. They're gonna fix what they can fix. And you're always looking for things you can take away from them. So that's what they're gonna try to do. They're gonna try to do a better job of executing the game plan and taking away things that they can take away. Because, you know, you get frustrated with players sometimes, you know, because especially when, you know, you have player tendencies, and that's another thing that Cheryl is so good at, and that's one thing we really prided ourselves in, Chad, is understanding player tendencies and what they want to do. And when you watch the video and you go back and you just get frustrated because they didn't follow the game plan, they didn't follow what they needed to do in terms of sending players a certain, like, directionally where you want to send them, or send them into the help if the help wasn't there. So you can clean up some of that stuff, and I'm sure she'll do that.
It's 16 past 2. Jim Peterson's here. Jim's going to be here with us for a long run here. One Thursday we get Jim Pete, and next Thursday we get Billy Guerin. It's just such a great rotation. We're lucky to have him on board. Smith gets injured last night. Then when she comes back, she's hobbled. She's not the same. Who knows?
Yeah.
She could come back, and she could be close to 100%, or she could be a borderline shell of herself, which she was, and really didn't play much when she came back. If she's more like the player she was when she was limited, how much does that affect game four?
It's huge, because she's such a huge part of what they do from an interior defense standpoint. You know, there's not many. Jonquel Jones is one of the more physically dominant bigs in the game. She's physically gifted, and then she also has the ability to play inside and out. So, you know, and Alana Smith is one of those players that just, you know, I just know that one of the things that the reason why they even got her in the first place is because Nafisa Collier basically went to the coaching staff and said, look, like, we need to get this player on our team, because when I'm out there, she's one of the hardest players for me to play against. And so that's one of the reasons why they got her on the team.
Is Cheryl pretty good at that, listening to player input on making trades and free agents?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Because, you know, because Cheryl is really, really cognizant of the fact that you do not want players that are going to come in and disrupt chemistry.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
And she believed that a little bit with Angel Reese, right? Isn't that a fair assessment why they didn't draft her?
I've not talked to directly about that with Cheryl, so I don't know. I just, you know, yeah, I would imagine that might have been a thing that kept a lot of people away, because it's just a...
And the shooting, you know, right? This team is space, pace, spread the floor. Reese is a great player, but she has no outside shooting ability. No, she doesn't have
it. So I just know that Cheryl really protects the locker room and really protects, and it's one of the reasons why the Lynx have been who they are and why they've been great is because they've had great people. And if you're on this team, you're someone that is a good person, and you're coachable. You're going to work hard and do things. Now, has everybody been that way when they've gotten here? No, that's just like, you know how it is. It's impossible to get that right every time. But it's definitely something that she does listen to the players. It's not the be all and end all, but it's just one of the things that she, takes into account when she's trying to get somebody on the team. So, and Alana Smith is one of those players that has absolutely been one of the big reasons, and one of the big reasons why they've been good. That move bringing her in has been genius.
Let's put Pete on hold. We'll talk a little bit about the Wolves. We'll talk more Wolves when they get going. They have a vitally important game tonight at Target Center. I know Jim is just so excited to be a part of. Dan Issel's not playing. Alex English is not playing. Although maybe they are playing, because who knows who Denver's going to play. Wolves and the Nuggets. If this was regular season, I'd be going. It's preseason now. I might watch. I might not watch. But Jim will be a part of it on Bally's with Grady. Hey, Grady's got he's in Italy for a wedding. Like, is he ESPN? No, he's in Italy for a wedding. So you know what I say about Michael? Bravo. As a guy who grew tired of those preseason games, bravo, Grady, for getting out of that preseason game. I got plenty of other items for Jim when we come back on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jim Pete's back with us, Jim Peterson. He'll be on Bally's tonight with Marnie. Wolves and Nuggets. We just were talking off air, Jim. You really never want to hear the term boil, do you? Like, if it's you've got a boil, somebody close to you has a boil, it's never really good, right?
I don't know that I've ever had a boil, so I don't know exactly what it is. It's just an inflammation, right? It's like, what is a boil?
You have like a wart's ugly cousin?
Yeah. I think they're kind of bigger than warts, too, aren't they?
I think so.
You know? Like, if you were single and you're not, you're so far overachieving, it doesn't make any sense to any of us. But
people who don't shower a lot get boils.
Yeah, like if I said, hey, Jim, I got a gal for you. Just one problem. She has like eight really visible large boils. But I mean, outside of that, I think you probably would hang up the phone on me real quick. Before we get to your Wolves, Dave has pointed this out a couple times to me. There are a lot of companies now are admitting they were doing the shrinkflation thing. So whether it's chips, cookies, other products, they were charging us not even the same price sometimes. Sometimes they were upping the price, and then if you look at the ounces, you know, if we looked like 4 years ago to say 12 ounces Doritos, and it's, I don't know, that's $5, let's say. Well, now it's $6, and it's 10 ounces. But enough, Dave, you can explain, enough companies have been caught, so consumers are ticked off, so they're, at least some are going to try to make it up to us, right?
Yeah, the Lay's and Doritos and a few other companies, Big Chip, we call them.
Big Chip,
they're going to fill up the bags a little more because, you know, consumers have been calling them out.
You know, who doesn't cheat you, though? Fritos. I've never been disappointed with a bag of Fritos when I buy them at the truck stop, like when I'm on the road or whatever. When I'm
truck
going
stop.
To a rest area.
Oh, give me a break. You're
going
a big truck stop. Yeah, okay, well, this is a rest stop. This is our mutual friend, Jeff Kaiser. I've mentioned this before. Kaiser has his beautiful wife, Leah. I think they have 17 dogs. He's now running Interlochen Country Club. He plays golf 9 days a week. He works out, 12 days a week. He'd give it all up to just be the voice of rest stops all across America.
Have you had this conversation with Dave? Like, is he on board with the rest stop?
Well, I don't know. I think one day you weren't here. So this is like 7, 8 years ago where Jeff and I go on a trip with a bunch of people. But at one point, one of us has to go to the bathroom. And we're going by stop after stop. There's gas stations. There's whatever. And he's like, no, we have to stop at a rest stop. I'm like, rest stop? Who's stopping at a rest? And he's like, he's encyclopedic on which rest stops are the best, why they're so much better. So we've started a I started it, then Jarrett has named it now, Rest Stop Aficionados.
Yeah.
And I suggested that Jeff's ultimate job would be if he was AI'd into all the different rest stops and he was guiding you where to go.
I like that.
You know? So, no, there aren't.
I sent photos. This just came up because I just last week was in Vermont. And my wife Tika and I, we stopped at a rest stop in Vermont, and it was absolutely beautiful. It was a beautiful rest stop. The building was incredible. Like the architecture of the building, the ceiling had all these incredible wooden beams. It was clean. It was nice. I'm a big rest stop guy now.
Yeah,
I gotta say,
okay,
Kaiser's converted me.
Yeah. Well, we did stop at the one overlooking Duluth. And it is beautiful.
And how great was it?
It was beautiful. Plus the lady there. How would you describe the lady who was running the place?
Helpful,
funny.
Yeah,
she might have wanted to take too many pictures. I mean, she was. I think she was willing to take like 75 pictures. We would have missed her tea time in Northland, but we would have a lot of pictures. That is for sure. Okay, let's get to your ball club here. Did you see on Twitter? I forget who had it first, but Kat. Carl Anthony Towns is at Billie Eilish last night, and Carl Anthony Towns is watching your feed. He's watching the Wolves and Bulls play on his phone while he and I'm assuming his gal are at Billie Eilish at MSG.
It doesn't surprise me. I think I would do the same thing had I had the ability to do it. I was sick when I was traded from Houston to Sacramento. It was one of the worst experiences of my life. I did not want to go.
How were you told?
So Bill Fitch had been fired and Don Chaney had come in as coach. And actually, Don Chaney was the one who called me first, but my second phone call was from Bill Russell. So Bill Russell was the president of basketball operations,
Sacramento,
the general manager of the Sacramento Kings when I got traded there. So
this Bill Russell, by the way, boys and girls.
Yeah,
this isn't just some other Bill Russell. This is Bill Russell.
Yeah. So when Bill Russell calls you and tells you that he really wanted me, and that was pretty incredible. And he also, by the way, gave me I'm not going to say it was a big contract for me at the time, but he's the one that gave me my deal that gave me a bit of financial security, and it was Bill Russell that did all of that for me. So, you know, while it was a hard thing to have happen, I understand what Kat is going through because, you know, you could see Chad, and you saw some of the video when the Wolves played the Knicks in New York,
right?
The way that he was greeting everybody, and that's the hard thing is when you go back and you see your old teammates and all the support staff and all the people that are your friends, and they're no longer part of your team. It's heartbreaking from that standpoint. Carl didn't want to be traded.
No, that's clear.
And
and
the only good thing about it is that he is going to a franchise that has a chance to win a championship.
Yes.
And you think of it, you know, KG didn't want to get traded either, but he goes to Boston, wins the championship. Kevin Love, he gets traded and wins the championship with Cleveland. So, you know, on the bright side, Carl's got an opportunity. That Knicks team is formidable. They're one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, and they could easily win a championship with him there.
Just contrast this, Dave. Bill Russell, and by the way, if you don't have Bill Russell as one of the five greatest players to play in NBA history, you need to stop watching, right? Bill Russell calls Jim and says, I wanted to trade for you. Jim tries to talk to me for the first time, and I give him the back of my hand and keep walking.
That's a true story.
That is a true story.
I'm literally trying to flag down Chad, and he gives me the Chuck Daly, like, you know, Chuck Daly did a famous interview with Chad and Tom Hanneman, and like Chuck was like, you know, took the headset off and he was gone before they could even say goodbye.
Exactly.
He just gave the back of his hand.
Yes. Spit on the ground.
So Pete's there, and it's a couple years before we worked together. I don't remember how long. And this is what I'm doing, the talk show.
The year before.
The pregame, the game, the halftime, and the postgame. So I've got like 3 minutes in between commercial, go to the bathroom, probably grab a Pepsi. And so Jim's so sincere. Chad, hey, Jim, people. I'm sorry. I got to go. And I give him the back of my hand.
True story.
That is a true story. Last thing on the Wolves, and we got to go. We got to talk to Jason. When the season starts next week, do you think Josh Minot is in the rotation?
I don't know how you keep him out. He's been so great. And, yeah, because, you know, I kind of thought Terrence Shannon would be in the mix a little bit, just because, you know, I think that he, you know, probably has the ability to be there. He's not there yet. But, like, I just think Josh, like, what he does, if he can keep doing it, like, he's so athletic, and they need someone that can rebound the basketball. He's aggressive, and if he can make shots like he's making, Chad, I don't know how you keep him out of the lineup. You got to find a spot for him. And so I think he will get some minutes. I don't know if he'll be a complete rotational player, but I would say yes. He's shown enough for me in this exhibition season to earn that spot, for sure.
Thank you. See you Saturday.
Okay, bud. All right, see ya.
Jim Peterson, tonight, Wolves and Denver. If it was a regular season game, it'd be phenomenal. I don't know how many people are playing tonight. I mean, Crunch might be playing tonight.
If he's playing, does he still get the trampoline?
Of course, he would.
Good.
He would do that.
I'm in.
Jason, next. He is here. Hello. I saved this topic for you.
Thank you.
Because you and Dave Harrigan both are fools in this area.
Yeah, probably.
Dave, tell Jason and the tens of millions listening what you did today and how long it has been since you participated in this activity.
I went in for a physical this morning for the first time in probably about a decade.
Wow. Wow, good for you.
Thank you very much.
How'd it go?
I am the healthiest individual the doctor's ever seen.
Wow.
Donald Trump is now joining the conversation.
So, physical, did you turn your head and cough?
No.
No?
What?
Did they take a mallet and, like, hit your knee to check your reflexes?
No, didn't do the mallet.
What kind of physical is this?
I had to go in last week. They did the blood draw.
Okay.
So they could take the fasting blood draw. Mm-hmm. They could check the cholesterol, A1C, all that.
How's that?
Everything's good.
Yep.
Okay. Everything's good. I've learned I have a 1.1% chance of having a heart attack in the next 10 years. Which is pretty good.
Wait a second.
That's a good number.
I have a physical every couple of years. I've never been given a percentage.
Well, I got a percentage.
Okay, huh? Well, just based on the blood draw?
Based on the blood draw.
How do you feel about that?
I think 1.1% over the next decade, I feel very strong about that.
Sounds high.
What percentage?
At your age.
Yeah, what percentage would really scare you, Jason?
100.
I think I would call that troubling.
Yeah, I'd be nervous at a hundo for sure. 20. I think 20 would be the lowest number that would concern me.
Yeah,
that's sort of high.
How are they coming? Who did you see?
Well, they said it's some sort of thing through the American Heart Association. I don't know. I didn't do the math. I just read the thing.
We didn't check the testicles. You didn't have to cough or anything?
No, you're really – this is twice now you've asked about the testicles. All right, calm down.
He did first.
We're just concerned about
testicles. They didn't check them. We talked about my health, talked about my habits and things like that. He, did the whole look in the eyes, the ears, nose, listen to you breathe.
That's it.
Push on the stomach thing.
Was this a part food truck, too? Or, I mean, were you really at a medical office?
I think I would go to a food truck, Chad. That would cost way too much.
Yeah. I was going to say, it'd be nice if you got like a nice, I don't know, burrito afterwards.
The last time I had a physical, back when I was younger, I went to the doctor. I was probably 29, and
didn't pull out. I thought maybe a different number, but 29,
like 28, 29.
Yeah.
So over at TV, I'm like, well, I've got pretty good insurance.
Yep.
100% coverage for preventative health care.
That's excellent.
I'm gonna go get a physical.
Yeah.
And my wife is like, why are you going? You're 28. What are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm paying for it, so I'm going to freaking go to the. And I went, and I was like,
nice support from Melissa too.
Yeah.
Why are you going? We're hoping you're going downhill. I got another guy lined up.
Right, you're also paying for life insurance, Jason. Want to use that too?
I was just disappointed. Like I thought a physical would be like what you see in the movies, right? Like they're hooking you up to some machinery. You're running on the treadmill. You're doing the stress test. And instead it was just like blood pressure, heart rate. All right. And even the doctor was like, what are you doing here? I'm like,
the doctor said, what are you doing here?
That's what I got the last time I went. The doc literally said, yeah, unless something comes up.
Yeah.
Once 5 years, 40, come
we'll
on
see
down.
In 5 years or something.
Yeah. I got 2 to 3 years today. That's pretty good.
You guys are going to the wrong doctors.
Should I go to your doctor?
He's too busy.
Too busy?
He's very busy. Yeah. And by the way, when you get a little older, you are. There are different aspects of the exam, which I really don't enjoy.
Yeah.
I really, really don't enjoy. What do you think about blocking and the new policy, the new changes on the X on Twitter?
So, I don't block a ton of people.
I don't either.
When I was in TV, I never blocked people because I felt like I'm a journalist. It's sort of a jerkwad thing to do to block people. And then when I came over here, I'm like, well, I no longer have an obligation to entertain the people who are jerks to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have sort of an unwritten policy. If in a tweet you swear at me, not just swearing, but you like call me your block. So I checked today. I have about 380 people blocked, something like that. Not that many. About 600 people muted. Because I don't like to give people the satisfaction.
Yeah.
Because they hold it up like a trophy.
Yeah.
Like, look at DeRusha. He's such a beta cuck. He blocked me. Yeah.
And then if they actually had to then point out what they did.
Yeah. Like, let me show you why.
Said muting.
Should I send you what the last straw was? Right. Like, usually it's pretty clear.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I do understand that. So for people who don't know, Twitter has a block function and a mute function.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, if you block someone, they cannot see you, and you can see them unless they block you back.
Yep.
I do understand the idea that, like, well, people just set up like another account, and so they can still see you. And also there are people who, like, say I blocked you, Chad, and then I would use that opportunity to slander you, and you couldn't see it.
Right.
So I do understand this idea of, like, well, if you don't want to be public, like, just have a private account. You can do that.
Because now they'll see you. I'm just reading right from
now they'll see you.
But they can't respond. They can't like, they can't reply or repost.
It doesn't hugely bother me. I think it's okay. I have a public account. If I assume that most of the people that I have blocked have other ways of being able to see it anyway, so it doesn't
That's a good question. Okay.
I'm not super bothered by, now they'll be able to see me. Fine. I just don't want to interact with
those people. That's fine with me, too. Do we think most people who get blocked for whatever reason, and some people are quicker than others to be blocked, do we think most set up another account?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
Dave, do you?
If you're that sort of a person where you're so abhorrent that you're saying things that are getting you blocked, you probably have several alt accounts. And
I probably was putting rational, reasonable thought.
Careful with that.
Now, do you ever see someone and then you find out you're blocked? So I
must have, but I don't remember that.
So every once in a while, I'll see like a friend retweet someone, and I can't see what they're retweeting. And you go and look, and you're like, "Huh?
They
blocked me?
Can you?
You're like,
look,
what did I do?
Can you look on your profile and see how many people are blocking you?
I don't think so, but you can. Sometimes it'll say this post is not available.
And that's
the
true.
Person's either private. Or they blocked you. I know it shouldn't. I know I shouldn't care. And I encourage people, like, if I'm annoying to you, block me. It's fine. I don't care. Enjoy social media how you want.
I do once I leave here.
It hurts me a little bit. Yeah. You're like, oh, well, how did I get blocked?
Just an asinine Disney cost. And what a bold statement by The View. Among the comments we will address, we come back with Drive Time in moments on CCO.
Wham!
Yeah.
So good. Exclamation point.
Exclamation point.
Yeah.
Yep. That was the Dave Harrigan.
That's very clever. Theme today.
Yeah, after Brad Lane said, you've been too easy the last couple days.
Hmm. This was difficult today.
Yeah, well, Casey Kasem speaks up. I guess I got to
exactly
improve my game.
Okay, so if you go to Disney now, and you're
now,
saying
a long distance dedication.
Exactly.
Andy writes.
And then his life turned bizarre, right? Like, weren't the wife was supposedly torturing him? The kids were then going after the wife. It didn't end well for Casey. So you want the fast pass, right? You want to go there? I don't want to wait in lines. Yeah. I'm Jason DeRusha. At Disneyland, it's going to cost you $400 a person.
Yeah.
Per day to skip the line. $400.
I wish they go back the old way. I remember being
a kid,
and my parents had the book. Like, you'd have the guide, so I don't know, Rick Steves or whoever's guide to Disney World. And there's a whole strategy, right? Like, you'd show up right when the park opened, you go right to Space Mountain, and my dad would be dispatched to go get the fast pass out of the machine, because you could only get one fast pass at a time. So we'd go get the fast pass, and it was a whole thing. It was fun. Had a little fun. Now you just pay to play. The rich living the Disney life, and the rest of us. The problem is that enough people pay to skip ahead.
Are they still going to?
Yes.
Does it even benefit you now?
Well, I think it does, but if you're the regular person in the regular line, the line just gets longer and longer, right? Because you're waiting for the $400 people. If you're saving up to go to Disney,
okay, think
about
this.
You're probably going to pay for the stupid lightning pass.
This is you, Alyssa, and the boys 10 years ago. That's $1,600 more, and you're going probably for 3 days.
Yeah.
That's 48. You're paying $5,000?
You pick one day to do it, right? Like, whether it's
be the last.
Your Epcot or your...
I don't think you want to set the precedent
it's
here.
It's crazy. That includes the admission, though, the 400, I think. I don't think it's 400 extra.
God, that is just gross. Okay, how about The View taking themselves way, way, way too serious? Because they've decided they're not going to do the Halloween costumes this year.
Oh.
Joy Behar. Where is it here? I had it. Where she's talking about the importance of what they say. That is the reason why.
In this time, in these important times, we can't have Halloween costumes.
Here she said, regarding canceling, it's too important. I don't mean to be grandiose, but we do have some influence on people's thinking. We need to use every single minute of the show to inform the public about how dangerous Donald Trump is.
My Lord.
Calm down. And by the way, you could still rip Donald Trump while you're dressed up as Sabrina Carpenter. Like, you know, talk about separating your shoulder, patting yourself on the back.
It is the number one daytime talk show in America. I mean, The View is...
Did you guys ever dress up for...
My bosses never really liked that nonsense.
So they thought you guys were too important, too.
Yeah. But we did one year. We could dress up, like, if we could get the costume on for the last segment.
Okay.
I mean, you can't really do the news headlines with, like, dressed up like a sunny-side-up egg.
Especially if it's a really tough story.
Oh.
You're a sunny-side-up.
That'd be the luck, right?
Let's go to Lakeville, where four people were murdered. What do you think of my yoke?
Dressed as like a,
but I mean, how
like
pompous.
An English muffin? How The View
pompous? Does she say, "Dave, we're too important. We're too important."
Well, you got a lot to say.
Oh, my God.
I go to the View for...
We are not that important. We are going to wear costumes this year.
Okay. That'll be good.
Yeah.
That'll be good. I can tell you one person...
On the radio,
I'm
going to
tell you one person who's not wearing a costume, and I'm staring right at him right now, and his name's Dan Cook.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.